Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Innovation Crush. It's me, Chris Denson, your host, live from Art Basel, Miami, Art Week Miami, at the Sagamore Hotel with two prolific individuals. Rather than me botch who you guys are, I'm going to actually like throw it to you. So ladies first, with a fresh wardrobe change, Ronit Newman, kindly introduce yourself. And what's the 101 on who Ronit is?
My name is Ronit Newman. So I confirmed that.
And let me check that box. Hold on. Let me check that box. question.
I'm pretty much a part owner of this hotel. It's a family investment, and I'm one of four siblings that owns this hotel, and we feel very blessed to be here and to own this magical property.
Well, I feel blessed to be here with you, and I feel the magic. Top that, Sebastian.
Hey, Chris. I'm Sebastian. I'm an art advisor. I'm actually a recycled banker into an art advisor, and I'm blessed and honored to be the resident art advisor at the Sagamore Hotel.
That's brilliant. You said something, Ronit, about family. And I was like, everything I've experienced here in the last few days feels like so family oriented. Like everybody gets along, but they argue kindly, like staff, from an arts perspective, from a curational perspective, from time, like even the times we're going to start these conversations. Like how important is that family vibe in sort of bringing to life what the Sagamore is?
You want to start?
Please go. Run it.
Okay. Well, it's kind of an interesting story because the Sagamore was owned before by a family for over 20 years. And we kind of like stepped into their mold or their shoes, but we brought on our family into this place. And what this place offers is a lot of innovation, a lot of culture, a lot of art, a lot of warmth. And this is what our family is all about. Mm. So we kind of like fit in within the mold that was previously created, and we are planning on taking it further.
And then you have like a stepbrother, I guess. That's what I'm going to call Sebastian. You're like the honorary family member. Like, how do you see the family influence in sort of what takes place at the Sagamore? I mean, you've curated an amazing exhibit, which we'll talk about in a second, but like from just a relational standpoint, what have you gained and what have you been able to contribute to the ecosystem that's here?
I mean, first, I've been blessed to almost become part of this family. And that was for me a great honor and a great blessing because it's a family business. So all the families involved. Here we have the three generations of the family, the mom, the dad, the two brothers, two sisters, and the grandkids. And everybody's very involved in the life of the hotel.
And your parents are here, too. That's the other weird thing.
They're here, too. Hello, daddy, mommy. So it's a family business. It's a lot of about relationships. And art is also a lot about relationships. So for me, it all made sense, rather than working for a big corporation, to work with a family and to agree and disagree as family members on a lot of topics related to the activities of the hotel.
And I think it's interesting because we talk about innovation as like being a collective of diverse perspectives and different interests and different ways you see things being successful or not successful, and then finding a happy medium in there. And that's kind of what innovation is. Ronit, you used that word, a couple of minutes ago. And you don't readily identify art and innovation in the same sort of category of thought. I guess this question is for both of you. Like, where does that marriage happen? Where does the art meet innovation, meet culture, meet the Sagamore?
Well, it can be met on many different levels and many different planks. And innovation can be in the Sagamore for a family like us to get into this wonderful world of the arts and inherit an art hotel and pretty much take it to another level, that is innovation. It's also courage to do that.
Courage is a big
and courage is a big word. And I would say that this is like an evolving thing that you keep on going and building on it. So we are glad to be here, and we're glad that we formed a team that is making a difference.
Sure.
And that is part of innovation, making a difference, making a change. So having Sebastian, who was a banker before and now an art advisor, part of our team, and he's so good at what he's doing, is an amazing thing.
No, he's Sebastian, first of all, you're like an amazing ball of energy, you know, and I think just like adding that to the mix, you know, as, especially from your perspective, your experiences coming from the outside, but again, just that idea of art and innovation being married together from what you bring to, you know, the, this environment. What's that like?
I mean, for me, by definition, I don't want to shock you, but for me, by definition, art is innovation. Because every single artist to create a relevant artwork needs to innovate in his own way, needs to create his own world, needs to create relationships, needs to create feelings with their, you know, viewers, with the public. And the second step of it, of what we do here at the Sagamore, is curating the show. So it's an innovation by itself to put together selected artworks to tell a story, to create a story. So for me, art and innovation go together so jointly, so intimately that it only makes sense to, you know, use the two worlds at the same time.
So speaking of that, like storytelling, I mean, we're in this prolific room, which has a name, correct? What's the name of this room? The Arts Room. All right.
That's a very good question. We don't want to agree on the name.
All right, we're going to start branding this place.
Art Lounge.
The Art Lounge. I knew somebody knew
the Project Room for me. No,
but like, what's the story that's being told right now during our Basel, right? It's you know, urban art, street art, but like, walk us a little bit through like what this room is and what's the story you wanted to tell with the pieces that are here.
Okay, so this one is for me. I'll start with this one. So the show is about, it's called Urban Legends. So it's about those artists that come in the city, sometimes in the dark, do an artwork and leave the artwork for the public and for the community. And they tell a legend. And for me, urban art, street artists, urban artists are really our modern poets. They don't write in words, but they create through their art and they share the story through their art. We're in a very special room, you're right, because we're surrounded by some of the icons of the history of urban art. One of them is Keith Haring. And imagine yourself in 81, 82. You are not born, Chris.
I was breakdancing at the time, so it was a different kind of street art.
Yeah, I mean, you take the subway and you see this little guy, you know, doing some drawings with chalk of his little, you know, people, of dolphins, of babies, and he created a world of his own. People were shocked. He got arrested a few times, but he started to create a new story or share a new story with the world. So this is really the vision that we had here, is how can we put together an exhibit where we're going to try to share so many of the stories for our audience and for our public.
And then, Ronnie, we were talking about this earlier, just this idea of street art, sort of, like at least your gravitation toward it was, you know, the stories that these artists are telling and why the Sagamore should be the home for it. You want to expand on that a little bit and just talk about like why, like the marriage between the Sagamore and, you know, urban art in a sense?
Well, urban art was in the Sagamore and started here a long time ago. I mean, we have the stairwell project that started like 10 years ago. And when we walked the hotel, I felt very connected to the street art movement and what they bring in.
Now, here's what's interesting about that. When I look at you in the conversations I've had, I don't readily go like, Ronit, yep, street art.
Street art.
Right? Like, what was it about it that resonated with you that made you go like, this is it. Like, I feel this.
Well, I feel that street art comes from, it's a reflection of emotions that comes from the inside of the artist, and it can come in many different ways, and it does not have to be abstract, it does not have to be classical, it does not have to be, but what they're saying is, aside from being able to show their ability as artists, like we have one being painted out on the wall right now on the garden,
yes,
by Mr. D, and you can see that the guy has an amazing talent as an artist. He could paint in the Vatican, you know, he's good, yet he puts in all these like unconventional, I would say, marks and colors and flair that makes his art so unique and so special. And these are things that are coming from within. And I felt that what makes street art very special.
That's great.
It's very, it's the little people, I would say. You
like know the underdogs. I think there's, yes, there's a rebellion to the, can we do something about the sound thing? Sorry, we'll hold on for just a quick second. And then we'll edit this out when it's published on Innovation Crush, guys. sorry, I'll see what happens.
Where's that, the speaker?
I don't know.
What's going on? Where is that coming from?
It's whatever the feed is. While we're here, does anybody have... What's everybody's favorite piece in here so far? One person.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
You must have one.
You got to have at least one. No, yes, in the building. You can only promote what's here. Ah, nice. Basquiat. Basquiat going once. Okay. How did the Basquiats come to be?
How do they come to be?
Yes. Oh, all right. We're back. No more static. All right.
I want to rebound on something that Ronnie just said that is very important to me. About the Sagamore and the link between the Sagamore and urban art and art in general, and what is my great pleasure when I work with the Sagamore is that I work with a lot of hotels and properties. Each time you want to paint a wall, no way. You cannot paint a wall. You cannot like destroy a wall. You cannot do a hole in the wall. Here, they gave me, I'm French, so I'm going to do it with a French accent, carte blanche. And they actually...
Carte blanche for those of us in English who are listening.
Carte blanche.
Carte blanche, yeah.
But I can pretty much have an artist come in and paint anywhere. And Ronit will never tell me, are you crazy? She will just tell me how amazing this is. And this is the beauty...
Usually.
But this is the beauty, and this is why this hotel is also so special. It's about the liberty and the freedom that artists can have here and do their own thing. And this is thanks to, you know, the family.
But there's also, I feel like there's also a risk in that, right? Like in embracing the rebels. And, I think this is me on the outside looking
in. But that's where courage comes in.
Right. So, and I was going to ask, like, how does that come into play? Like, you know, how far are you willing to go to, like, push this movement forward?
Well, right now, we do look at the Sagamore as a platform for emerging and street artists. At the same time, we're very proud to have the legends, you know, as part of our show. I mean, the street arts are important today is because a Basquiat can sell for $58 million. I mean, you know, there is a connection. There is always a connection why something is successful, because at the end of the day, it does kind of like turn into dollars and cents and all that comes with it. But sure, when the artist start the career, that's not what it's all about. You know, it's about sending a message. It's about creating something that maybe would make a difference or would make people open up their eyes. And I feel that the Sagamore is a very unique venue for that. And being another hotel in South Beach, I mean, I don't know how many hotels are on Collins Avenue. I mean, like never, I tried one time to count them. I couldn't, you know.
Yeah, it was like a lot.
There is a lot, okay? But the Sagamore is a very special hotel and we wanted to keep it that way. It is a platform for the artists to be able to come in show what they can do, share it with the public. I just want to tell you, I mean, just going back on what Sebastian said, last Art Basel, we had completely different street art on our walls, mm-hmm. which were done by very famous artists. And if you think about it, this Art Basel, we took the, you know, the paintbrush and we turned the whole hotel back to white canvas. That takes courage.
Sure.
Because for some other ones, it would say, oh my God, you know, how can you do that? But that's what we do.
That's
here.
Fantastic.
So.
Is there still a stigma around street art as a, like, I mean, we're here at Art Basel, right? And I walked the show, I walked the show floor of Basel, and it's staid, you know, artisans, right? Fine arts and so on. So is there still a stigma on what street art actually means to the arts culture as a whole?
Sebastian?
Street art is, first, it's not a new thing. Street art has been with us for over 30 years now. It started with graffiti in the end of the 60s, early 70s. And now street art is all around us and is a great part of the art market. Some very well-known artists are being sold and bought at the best auction houses, at the best art fairs, an artist like Keith Haring, an artist like Banksy. Basquiat is a different story. If you want, we'll come back to Basquiat. But the reality is that those artists have integrated the art world and the art market in a very clear manner and are part of this art market right now as well. They're not... I want to change the... I do a lot of... Of course, street art is in my heart. I'm a street art collector. I've been involved with all of those artists for over 10 years now. And I'm fighting against those preconceived ideas that a street artist is a homeless guy that has nowhere to go but in front of a wall and paint
this wall. You mean
they're not? No, they're not. They're actually very clever guys, educated guys. They graduated
girls.
From and girls and a lot of girls. We're going to talk about that. I hope also later. But they are great artists, very talented artists, and they are now a very strong force in the art world and in the art market.
I think there's something interesting. I mean, even kind of piggybacking off what both of you said, there's almost like a quiet competition that happens, right? Like there's so many hotels and institutions and venues and they're vying for attention. You know, how do you kind of stay one step ahead of the competition in a friendly way, obviously, because I think there's a really great community here in Miami. But like, how do you stay one step ahead and like, oh, see what they're doing, but we're going to do this. That's going to be the thing that sets us apart. What's the science that goes into that?
Well, I think that we kind of both said it. It's the ability to take a 4-star hotel on the beach in Collins Avenue, right next to Lincoln Road, which is a very substantial real estate prop in terms of value, and give your walls to be painted and gives your walls as a platform. And
no one
that.
Else is doing that. I've walked into other hotels. And I'm like, there's no. easels and
there is easels,
framed
there
artwork.
Is wallpaper. Right. There is knockdown walls. There is a lot of that, which is nice. Which is also creativity and creation, but it's not.
You're like, but
but it's not the real thing.
Yeah.
And what's here? It's the real thing.
I think Sebastian, same thing. Like, it's, I mean, you as an observer of the culture, like you have to go like you're an observer and a participant, but then you're like you have a job to do, right? And it's to attract people to the what's here. So, what's the thinking that goes in that and the process that goes in that for
you? I mean, first, it's much more than a hotel. What makes this place different is that for me, there is the hotel with hosting an art institution, and really, what I do, the way I see my mission here, is really to bring. A museum quality, very high level quality art exhibits for the community as well. And how beautiful it is to be blessed to curate shows in an institution that is open 24/7 to public, free of charge. You can come here, you can have a cocktail, you can have a drink, you can have dinner, you're surrounded by beautiful art. But the reality, yesterday I was in front of the patio here, it was around 10 p.m., and I had kids that came to me and said, oh, do I need to pay to enter? And I
You're
told
like,
them,
yes.
No.
Give me 20 bucks. I did that when
give me 100 bucks each. No, I said, of course you can enter. Please enter. Please enjoy the art. And this is also one of the amazing things here is that there is no selection at entrance. You can come in. You can enjoy the art. You can meet me. You can. The owners are always here. Ronit is very approachable. Try to find an hotel here on the row where you can see the owners. You know, in the corridors, talking to you, being friendly with you. You know, taking a drink with you. So this is a very special atmosphere here, and really, it's about sharing this experience.
Now on paper. Neither one of you, it doesn't make sense for you to be here, right? A master of I'm going to read my notes. Master of Science in Accounting and Finance. And you run it. You spent a lot of time in the medical industry and real estate.
And Fashion Institute of Technology.
Fashion Institute of Technology. So what sort of fresh thinking do you bring to the art world, right? Where does finance kind of fit into, you know, or the principles of finance fit into how you view art or, you know, your experience in multiple industries, not traditional arts per se, but like where does that perspective give you a value, you know, to this community? Family. Look at you.
You want to start?
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, I can go, no problem, since you're insisting. But I really believe that art is in every industry. You know, even in finance, you know, sometimes, yes, one and one, it needs to equal two. But I'm sure that even in finance, sometimes it doesn't. You know, and you need to find a way how to get to that too. And to get to it, you do all kinds of things, okay? Art was always part of what I love to do, actually. I went to FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology in New York. We started a fashion business in New York with a family. And I was involved with the fashion business on its beginning. And it was fun to create, and we created fashion. So that is art. Fashion is art.
Sure.
So anything you do, really, real estate, you know, to be able to create value and to create a good product to sell is art. So everything has a little bit of an artistic or something in the arts that is there.
I agree. Like there's always a creative twist.
And then you get the sagamore. And then it's live art on the walls. So this is like the epitome of, you know, it's like you're getting to the best of what art is all about, because they're coming from everywhere. You know, they
That's
can
brilliant.
Be engineers, they can be accountants. I met kids that came from so many different places, and they're still artists, and they're still creating, and they're still splashing and putting color, and sometimes getting our floors dirty, which I'm not happy about, but you know,
courage.
That's part of it. But that's the courage, right?
And then you come to me when the floors are not, you know, are dirty because they're full of paint.
I
will take a whole different angle. Art is a huge business right now. The art market is a $60 billion worldwide business, you know, in the world in terms of value. The what is very special about what we do here is that we're organizing selling exhibit. Everything is for sale. And part of my job, I consider part of my job is also to talk about value. To talk about, does it make sense to buy, I'm sure Chris, you heard 2 weeks ago, a crown Saudi prince purchased a Leonardo da Vinci work for $450 million, okay? What does that mean? Is that crazy or is that not crazy? The reality is that you have value attached to an artwork. And I think talking about value in the middle of the Art Basel Week, when you have thousands of people buying artworks, spending around, it's an estimate, $300-400 million during the week to purchase artworks. I think it makes a lot of sense to talk about value and to talk about finance. So that's what I do here as well. I select, I handpick the artwork, I make sure the value is right, and I make sure that if a collector or buyer pops in, I know I can sell this work that is at the Sagamore because it's the right work and it's the right value.
Because you also work very closely with the artists, right? Like, let's say I did a doodle, you know, because I had a conversation with somebody here in this room recently. And we were saying like, oh, it only took you a day to make that. I'm not giving you that amount of money, right? And I think that happens. Like, what, like, how do you calculate value of someone's creativity? And that's a hard thing to to like assign a price tag to. Whether or not I was able to do it in 10 minutes or 10 months, you know, what? How do you assign the value to someone's creativity?
It's a very tricky question, but somewhat the art world is also an art market. And in any market, I did a master in finance and
I know,
and
that's
accounting.
Why I'm asking the science, also, the math. I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know you get a master of science in math.
Yes. So the reality is that in any market, you have offer and you have demand. Okay. And what determines the pricing is the offer and the demand. If the demand is higher than the offer, prices increases. If the demand is lower than the offer, prices decrease. And for artists that are quite well known and that sell a lot in the market, it's really what's going on in the auction and the art fairs that determine the price according to how many people want to buy the same artwork. And for young artists, it's a very tricky question and there's no answer. You know, it can be anywhere from $500 to $5,000 or $10,000. The reality is that it's a very subjective matter. And obviously, the way you turn your question is very tricky because how can you value the actual creativity that is behind it?
Right.
And I have another answer for you that I found funny. It was coming from an artist I met not so long ago. Somebody asked the artist, how long do you take to do this work? Under the belief that he probably took 5 minutes to do the work and it was not worth $5,000 at all. And the artist answered, you know what? It took me 30 years to perfect this work.
Wow.
I.e. the creativity is a process that builds through the life of the artist. And it's a long-term commitment to their artistry. So the reality is that it should be valued at much higher price than whatever time you spend or whatever materials you spent, in creating the artwork.
So essentially, under new management, the Sagamore is a startup, right? So 1.5-year-old, platform, as you so eloquently put it. What did you see as value, and like, where did you see the opportunity to really like increase and go like, we're gonna take the previous 25 years and, you know, exponentially magnify and amplify what was possible and take that to you know, the next level?
Well, I feel that the next level for us would be the ability to reach to a lot of people, and that possibly creating, you know, our own urban fair possibly in the Sagamore. And that is something that I would love to see coming. We are a property that is very unique. We have the beach. And I feel that would be our next step for expanding this vision. And I feel very lucky that I have Sebastian on my right, because as you've seen, I think he shares the same kind of a vision, and he's very capable. He's capable in a way that he has the knowledge behind him as far as the street art is concerned, but he's also financially very savvy. So the combination of both, because you cannot be only a dreamer in any business.
100%.
In order to make sure that this venture is successful, it needs to have, at the end of the day, it needs to have a positive P&L, you know, and a good balance sheet. Otherwise, you know, unfortunately, in the world that we live today, I mean, yes, we are philanthropists. We do a lot of things in here that we share with the community without getting any reward or anything. I mean, and this is where we are right now. But at the end of the day, we're going to be able to create something that's going to help the artist, because we'll be selling a lot of works in here.
Yeah. Well, it's the unspoken investment, right? Like, that's the other
thing. And Sagamore will be able to sustain itself and be able to provide a very, you know, rich platform for the artists to be here and to be able to continue with what they're doing with us here.
That's beautiful. Sebastian, you're obviously very passionate and you're very French.
Should I take that as a compliment?
We'll see. It's an amazing compliment. But I love that your parents are here. And when we were in the car recently, you were talking about, you know, is it the practice of art has been sort of handed down to you. And even read in your bio at 13, you got to spend some time with a, you know, very prolific artist. What have you learned generationally from your parents, about that's informed your perspective as a professional now?
I think it's not even about art. I think it's about transmission. It's about transmission of values. It's about intellectual curiosity. We have very different tastes, actually, my parents and I. But the reality is that the common aspect of things is the curiosity. He's willing to understand more. He's willing to check what's behind. And I think this is what art provides us with. It's really the ability or the willingness to understand what's behind a visual or what's the story behind what you see that is not always obvious.
Yeah. And similarly, Renee, with like just your family, we were talking about this earlier, and just like, it's a super supportive ecosystem. Like you were talking about showing up at graduations and people flying in from all over the country, if not the world, to, you know, just to be there for a college graduation. And, you know, how has that just informed you as a business person, you know, to have that family approach to what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I have to say I'm extremely lucky because I do have an amazingly supportive family. I'm here because this is a family venture and a family venue. And throughout my life, I was involved in only family business. And family includes my immediate family as well, my husband. I mean, we always work together. So it's an amazing base to start whatever you want to do in life. And that comes back to, you know, the value systems that I'm given and what it is that you can share back. I mean, I was always taught to share because of the family, because we, between us, we share everything and we do everything. And that's what you do. And that's what we do here in the Sagamore under the direction of the family and my father. We have the support here to be able to open our doors to school children that come in on a regular business, on school tours with Sebastian, and they come out of the Sagamore with smiling faces and love for the arts. And, you know, and this is something that I've learned from where I came from. And where I came from is obviously my immediate family and my husband and the children.
Shout out to all the Newmans in the room. Does anybody know what the word Sagamore means? Only one husband. Yes, thank you, David. I appreciate that. Good. Very good addition to the conversation. Anybody know what the word Sagamore means? I do. I Googled it. We were talking about this earlier, and it's interesting. Like, I guess there were Northwest Native American tribes, and the word Sagamore is actually like the chief of those tribes. And so it's interesting that you guys have been at the forefront and actually put together a tribe of artists and family. And I think that's pretty amazing and very poetic, you know, and kind of kismet. With that, I want to turn to the audience for questions, if there are any questions from this this packed room of family and friends. I know there's always one. There it is. Beautiful young lady. You're welcome. Oh, here we have a toast.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you. Yeah, I should have.
See, that deserved a round. I was stuck between a rock and a hard place as a host. I didn't want to interrupt that beautiful statement. Wait, say it in the mic. So my apologies. Anyone else? Yes, Dr. David. Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you to say this. Now I'm going to do my job. Will you say this in the microphone here? No. It will sound even better.
To Sebastian. Yeah, multiple exhibitions every 2 to 4 months. And actually the main person deciding on what goes on the walls and what don't. Which ones you enjoy the most and why?
Wow. Which exhibit out of all of them I did? But you know the answer. You know the answer, and it's this one. For me, it's Urban Legends, because I think this is an exhibit where it was a lot of work. It was very emotional because a lot of work have been very difficult to get. Like the Basquiat, I really wanted, you asked a question earlier about the Basquiat. I wanted Basquiat, he's one of my favorite artists. I wanted a lot of Banksy. I wanted a lot of Keith Haring. And those are works that are not that easy to get for an exhibit. So it was a big challenge to put together, and the result is, to me, very, very exciting because it's very unique. It gives a great atmosphere to the hotel. And to come back to what Ronit has been saying earlier today, sometimes, and I know she does it too, I sit down in the sofas, nobody knows who I am and what I do, and I watch people coming in. And when I see the smiles on the faces, when I see people starting, you know, to experience something, a positive feeling, I tell myself that, you know, it's the job is well done, because this is the objective. You have to smile and you have to be happy about it. So yeah, definitely is this one, but you know, because it's very special.
Is the goal, kind of follow-up question, that was actually a great question. Is the goal to sort of, like, the next time you have to top yourself, like you're always trying to leapfrog where you were the last time, or does culture change and you kind of like listen to what's happening in the world? Like, where does the ideation happen for what happens in the future in terms of an exhibition?
If I may, Sebastian, I think that every exhibit that we've done here topped the previous one that we had before. So that's what made us feel all here, that we're going in the right direction, because every exhibit became more powerful, innovative, different. And we see it by the reaction of the people coming in, enjoying it. And yes, I mean, it's a movement that it's keep on revolving and evolving. So...
So the show is called Innovation Crush. I'd like to ask both of you what your current crushes are. You know, we have a really cool artificial intelligence street art exhibition in the hallway. There's a lot of technology that goes into the future of what art is, but it may not be technology. It can be something analog. Is there something that you currently have a crush on and you're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I wish I could be next to it or closer to it.
I have a problem. I'm French and I have crushes every 30 minutes or every hour or so.
You're a romanticizer.
Yes. But frankly, my biggest crush of the past year or so is about music. and it's about Nu Déco Ensemble, a beautiful, amazing orchestra from Miami that we will produce tomorrow at the brunch, at the Sagamore brunch. And I think the music that they do and they produce is immensely gratifying for the soul. So that was my crush.
It's beautiful. And they were here yesterday and spoke, and you know.
Yes.
So that was the, I'm with you. I'm excited to see it a little bit more. Same question.
So what's my crush? well, my crush is about the word itself, art. But this time I love it with an S at the end. So it's art. And I really do enjoy anything that is extremely innovative, young, free, creative, and like the Nu Déco that is coming up, like the street art that is being created right now, very fresh. The paint is really wet on the walls. So, and
so you're French too. Yes. You have so many crushes.
Right. Exactly.
And then arts with an S means that fashion is art. So, you know, I mean, that's part of what we're going to be doing in the Sagamore as well. We're going to, the family being in the family, in the fashion business, we're going to be bringing in some fashion and into the hotel and doing some of that. Photography is art. I mean, there are so many things. So anything that is creativity that comes from within with a big S at the end as an art, that's my crush.
Speaking of fashion, I bought this hat for Art Basel. How's it doing? Is it weird or is it okay?
Actually, it's okay.
You sure? That doesn't sound very convincing.
I'll tell you what I would do with it, though.
What would you throw it in the trash?
No. Okay. I'll give it to Mr. D outside.
Ah, yes.
And use this little spray paint and do something on it.
I don't want the man spray paint my hand. I just got it. I am honestly curious about this ring. Will you just explain? Because I've been looking at it like all night long. What can you just give a little bit of like where that comes? It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, I like the color, you know, and the red is a passion, you know, and it has the red. And actually, it was picked out by my sister, who has an amazing fashion.
Good job.
You know, eyes. She knows how to pick things very well.
She's been stylish like every time I see her, she's in like two or three different outfits.
But she's in the right outfits.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No, it's like for what every 3 hours there's a new look. Right. Last but not least, this is for both of you. Complete this phrase for me. Innovation to me is.
Innovation to me is courage. Because when you have courage, you have creativity. You create change. And that's what makes the world go around.
Was there anything that you were fearful of that you had to actually like exhibit an abnormal amount of courage? You seem very calm and cool, calm and collected. But I'm sure there was something where you're like, uh-oh. But where did you have to exhibit courage recently?
When I looked at the weather for tomorrow.
The weather for tomorrow, Benny, like the 2,000 person brunch is happening outside. And
what I'm saying is, like, I believe that anything in life you can overcome if you really try to, unless it's something that's out of your really control and immediate, you know, thing that you can't control the weather. Okay, if it's going to rain tomorrow and we have our biggest event of the year with 2,000 people knocking at that door, hey, it's going to rain tomorrow. But what we do in here is, okay, you need to start moving, getting tenting, you know, and make sure that the show goes on.
Brilliant. Sebastian, innovation to me is?
Innovation to me is thinking out of the box, is not being afraid of failures. I think it's going through the failures and understand that any failure makes you a better person and helps you grow. So I think not being afraid of failures, yeah.
So aside from my hat being a failure.
Huh?
You have courage.
Curse. We have to.
You guys got that. Thank you. Have you faced a failure recently? Like, is there something that's, you know, on your radar where you're like, that did not go the way I planned
it? I've faced failures every day. I think it's not about one big thing. It's about all the challenge that you have to go through life that make you a better person. So I think really innovation is about really constantly pushing you and make sure that anything that doesn't go the way you want them to go, you make it in such a way that you make it happen in some way anyway. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, it makes perfect sense.
Makes more sense in French, maybe.
You want to say it in French? We can end
in... Je parle français? On va parler français, alors?
Je parle un peu.
L'innovation, c'est le courage. C'est ne pas avoir peur de l'échec. Voilà. Qui fait de toi une meilleure personne.
Just say oui, oui.
Oui, oui. That means something else where I come from. everyone, please give a round of applause to Sebastian Labereau and Ronit Newman.
Thank you.
Where can people find out more about the hotel and the movement? Where are you online? I would love to plug that if possible.
Sagamorehotel.com, SebastianLabereau.com. You can find everything that I do online as well. We have an Instagram at Sagamore Hotel. Is that the Instagram? Can we check really fast?
Sounds right.
Okay, sounds right. Sounds about right. And my own Instagram is at Sebastian Labereau. And I think that's about it, no?
Yes, and let's not forget that Sagamore is art, but at the same time, it's the... one of the nicest hotel, or the nicest hotel to stay in South Beach.
It is beautiful. I can attest to that personally, so thank you. And thank you for leading the tribe. Everyone, this has been another installment of Innovation Crush, and we will talk to you next time.